In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And that, of course, is essentially it with regards to the Holy Trinity. We learn from the very words of Christ himself as he spoke to the apostles before his ascension to baptize all nations in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord himself revealed to us the dogma of the Holy Trinity, and simply put, by him. And oftentimes we as Catholics take it for granted because we start everything by invoking the Holy Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all you have to do is think it through. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ does not say, in the names of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, demonstrating it is one God. But the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God, three persons. And it is not for us to be able to penetrate that mystery, but to be awestruck by it. Remember, mystery is always about getting to the truth. One reads a mystery novel to find out who actually committed the crime. Mystery is always about getting to the truth, but there are some truths we cannot possibly comprehend because they are too great, and the Holy Trinity is one of them. So it causes us to step back and to be awestruck by the might, the majesty, the power of God. Three persons, one God, one substance, one Godness, but three persons that are of that substance, of that Godness. Hard to comprehend, rightfully so. But the Lord still does reveal that to the apostles before he ascends back to heaven, which means it is necessary for us to know it. And it makes perfect sense when you consider the reality of how authentic love works. Remember, love is an act of the will, not love is a sentiment. That's why sentimental love, which is not true love, is used to justify innumerable sins, unnatural vices. But true authentic love is an act of the will where you seek the good of the beloved. And therefore, since God is goodness, truth, and beauty, you seek God for those you love. But why do you love them? It is difficult to love what you do not know. Now remember, a lot of sentimentalists, most people love in a sentimental way. They'll say they love pizza. Or they say they love a celebrity, a sports star, a musician. And they really do feel a love for them, but again, that is just a sentiment. Because they do not know these people personally. They only know the work that they do, the talents that they possess. And oftentimes, if they do have the opportunity to meet that person, they're sorely disappointed because they are not what they thought they would be. No, authentic, true love requires a knowledge. That's why it's necessary for those who are in the sacrament of holy matrimony to have that period of courtship ordered towards getting to know one another, and only in an ordered way, not in a disordered, sinful way, because that's when everything goes afoul. But they know one another, and they choose to love. Especially since that knowledge of the other, if it is authentic and true, you know how it's sentimental love when the weaknesses of the beloved are ignored and none of the flaws are visible because one is blinded by the sentiment of love. The relationship goes through those three stages of romance, then disillusionment, and then decision. The decision to either flee or the decision to love unconditionally, which is what the sacrament of holy matrimony is all about. You take the good and the bad, and you discourage the bad and encourage the good and endeavor to take the rough edges off each other. But what's absolutely necessary is a knowledge of the other's weaknesses. And to deny that there are any weaknesses is an indication that there is no real love, only inauthentic, sentimental, which means self-serving love. What's it have to do with us and the Holy Trinity? Well, it's quite simple. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And therefore, God created us to be social creatures because He Himself is the perfect community of love. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So, we're not called to live in isolation. We're called to live in right-ordered relationships. And those involve knowledge. Well, the Holy Trinity is revealed to us in the simplest of ways by the Christ Himself for that reason. So that we know who God is, so that we might actually love Him. Most people who claim to be Christian, and that sadly includes too many Catholics, they do not really love God. God is sort of a hobby. God is something that they do on Sundays. Otherwise, He has no bearing in their lives. There's no real reference to Him on the daily level. Everything's done independent of Him. Even though He made us and we belong to Him. And He made us, by the way, to worship Him, which goes against conventional wisdom. We live in a godless culture, and therefore the whole notion of God not wanting us to worship Him is what most lazy Catholics, agnostics, and others say. But if we love Him, we want to worship Him, and the only way we will actually love Him with our wills and not simply with sentimentality, because remember, sentimental love is always self-serving. I love the idea of being in love. I love the idea of loving when authentic love, as we see with the Holy Trinity, the Father begets the Son, and the Holy Spirit spirates from the Father and the Son. Love begets love. It is not turned inward. It is turned outward. And so therefore, God Himself created us out of love. And since He is love, the only thing we can do in return is love Him. And not as a sentiment. God has no emotions. Emotions are transitory. They're transitional. They change. God is immutable. God cannot change. If God had emotions, He would not be God. But God, indeed, can be offended by sin. Now, Jesus Christ, the God-man, does indeed have emotions. And most people want to think, oh, they tell their little children, oh, if you say a lie, you make Jesus cry. No, that's balderdash. You say a lie, you make Jesus mad. Jesus doesn't cry. Jesus gets mad when you sin. That's the kind of thing parents should teach their children, not make Jesus cry. Sin has consequences. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a true man who will indeed mete out justice. Then the Holy Spirit is the means, as we considered last week, of communicating to us actual grace, enlightening of the mind and strengthening of will. But I say this to demonstrate to you that when you know these things, it becomes more feasible to love Him. But if you know nothing about God, your love for Him is only sentimental, it's self-serving, and therefore your life really isn't even affected by Him, and certainly isn't directed towards Him, and does not have Him as its origin and its goal. God is just a train on a parallel track, and once in a while you cross over, but otherwise you're quite accustomed to living life without Him. And of course, you know that your very existence is contingent solely upon Him. And that if He were, but He would not do it, but if He were to stop thinking of you just for a millisecond, you would cease to exist and no one would even know you ever existed. We're completely contingent upon God. And then you begin to understand how merciful He is, because He puts up with all of our indifference and lukewarmness. Puts up with it mercifully for a time, but eventually He will punish. Eventually He will punish. And those are the first people to shake their fists at God when things go wrong, because they don't know Him, and they think that, because of their sentimental love for Him, they think that He's supposed to make everything good, He's supposed to make everything happy. Yet they fall into the heretical Protestant notions of the gospel of wealth. And God makes everything easy. God makes life easy. Absolutely not. Because God does not want us to get trapped in this fallen world. Remember, as He says, and as I've reminded you time and time again, Christ is clear, the devil is the ruler of the world. You are serving the devil when you serve the world, even when you think you are doing good. You make work more important than God, you are serving Satan. You make a person more important than God, you are serving Satan. You make yourself more important than God. You are serving Satan. And think of it, people who actually know authentic love, they never think that way. Two who are married, husband and wife, if they are living in grace, they think of the other first. They don't think of themselves first. And they think of the reality of family. It's always a we situation, not an I situation. And of course, that's all the point of family life, isn't it? To imitate the perfect community of charity that is the Holy Trinity. Completely different level of being on the part of the Holy Trinity. But man is made in God's image and likeness. Therefore, man is to imitate God in a biological sense, where it's not that way with the Father begetting the Son. It's not a biological or a God reproducing himself kind of thing. But that's what he calls male and female, husband and wife, to do. Love begets love. It's only the selfish person, the selfish Catholic, who practices the great evil of contraception, which is, by the way, intrinsically evil and never can be justified under any condition, because it is, by its nature, intrinsically evil, evil within itself. And you cannot use evil to accomplish good. But why would a loving person be interested in contraception? They wouldn't. And that's what a life divorced from caritas, love himself, looks like. You live a life of self-interest, of self-orientation, of self-obsession. You try to control everything and everyone around you. And in the end, you're unhappy and you don't know why. And you simply start even doing more of what you shouldn't be doing in order to try to find some semblance of happiness, which cannot be found because we were made by God for God. Therefore, it cannot be found in a world divorced from God. It cannot be found in a fallen world. It can only be found in God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You see, the more we know him, the more we love him. And not as a sentimental notion, but as an act of the will. Because then our lives begin to make sense. We can see through all of the clouds of doubt that the enemy has manufactured, all the smoke that is there. Because we see what family life is about. We see what our own individual lives are about. We see the direction we are to take. And we come to understand the words of St. Paul from Galatians should apply to us. I no longer live for myself, but for him. Paul speaking of Jesus Christ. That's what married life is about. Living life in Christ where there is a cross. That's what the priesthood is about. Living life on the cross with regards to the sacrifice tied to the altar. That's what religious, a consecrated life is about. Living under a particular rule where you die to yourself for the sake of a rule that is designed to bring you holiness. Even the sacrament of holy matrimony itself as a sacrament is designed to make you holy. And its manifestation is total self-sacrifice instead of what we see for most people, total self-obsession. All this from just thinking about those words that Jesus said and the words that I say always when I close the sermon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.